All right, with Kyle Arneson, Meevil the Weevil, Breakfast of Champions is the 4-minute animation film. We are proud to show this year film in two cities, Chicago and Toronto. And we showed it at Toronto last week at our festival, and people loved your film. They loved it. It's just like the laugh, the crowd. Hopefully, you've seen your film. You've been in person when your film's playing.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there for that showing.
No
I'm
problem.
really happy that they responded to it.
Well, you're in Los Angeles. I totally understand. You're probably a busy guy, right?
Busy, yeah. I'm actually in Portland, Oregon. Split the time between LA and Portland, but love Toronto. Really wish we could have been there. But yeah, super happy that people found some humor in it.
I apologize. You the on the submission on Film Freeway, it says, but I guess that was the other person who submitted for you. He's in LA.
Yeah, no, we bounce back and forth. It's complicated. My wife teaches in LA. I'm working up in Portland right now. So yeah, we're bouncing back and forth.
Portland's in the news right now.
Yeah,
Any
a lot of talk
comments?
about Portland. Yeah,
Yeah.
it is not on fire. Everything is fine here. It's a beautiful, beautiful city.
Okay. That's the we'll leave it at that, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about this film, Meevil the Weevil. When did you kind of come up with this idea for this film?
I want to say it was 2022 when I came up with the character and wrote the script. Stop motion, very slow, painstaking process. Wrote it 2022, boarded it out, and that was the easy part because then we had to build the sets, the puppets, get the crew together. And what you don't really see in the film is that the kitchen, the entire set that Meeble interacts with, is a full-scale kitchen. So I built a kitchen in our studio, which we had at the time in Los Angeles. Shot all our plates. Obviously, had to build our puppet, who's a fairly large puppet. He's about 16 inches tall. Built all the props, the rocket roller skates, so on and so forth. The rigging. So it was just a very long, involved process, and had paused to take regular jobs. We were a functioning production studio,
Yeah. So
so it is kind of a
you're a production designer in the industry. I guess
yeah.
like some big you've done some pretty big film. Robot Chicken comes to mind, right? So are you
Yeah.
working on a show right now?
No, as you may or may not know, the industry is pretty quiet right now. We did a series of Arco commercials recently. I did some designs for a Kaiser Permanente spot. But yeah, myself and all my colleagues are kind of just waiting with bated breath to see what happens. But there's not a lot of animation happening right now.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But I get to get, I guess like maybe a silver lining is that you get to work on your own projects.
That's right. Yeah. So it's good to have something to kind of just focus on and invest our time and energy into. So yeah, we're definitely trying to do more medieval stuff. But yeah, the whole thing took at least three plus years to do. We finished the last of the VFX earlier this year, and yeah, now doing the festival circuit. So it's been a lot of fun, ton of work, great team, a lot of patient people, and yeah, really happy with the results.
Let's talk about like so the I, this like if someone who programs festivals, this seems like a no-brainer acceptance. So I'm assuming it's done well for you.
Yeah, we've gotten into a handful. This is my first time doing the festival circuit. We did a really fun one here in Portland that I was able to attend, the PF Cat, and that was held at OMSI, which is a museum up here. And it was actually shown in IMAX, so that was really interesting. You work on a small 15-inch monitor for years, and then to see it, on IMAX was pretty great. And yeah, just kind of happy to discover that it flows as hoped. You get into these sort of fugue states making little projects like this. And so getting to see audience reactions and getting another perspective is really good. Kind of knowing that it had pacing that worked and got the laughs where we were hoping. And the big goal on this one was to mix live action, kind of old practical effects with the animation. So kind of, paying homage to the Jim Hensons and the people I really admired growing up. But getting to do fun effects and blow things up on set and have milk spill everywhere and cereal fly all over, and integrating the animation was just a lot of fun. So that's kind of where my passion is.
So you mentioned fugue state, meaning that like you got, is that like a euphemism for like you get sometimes you get too close to the film and
There's just so many plates spinning. You know, you're dealing with the puppets, the sets, the VFX, and all the while you can kind of lose sight of certain things. You know, lose the forest for the trees, as they say. So you want to just make sure the pacing is always kind of working in editorial. With stop motion, you know, the rigging, and you've got to. You know, the puppet's arm has now broken. How do we fix that? And you know, the sets change day to night. So as the weather changes, things kind of start to sag. So everything is just constantly being tuned up, and it's such a game of keeping things going and keeping things working that you can kind of lose sight of the bigger picture, which is the story. So it's just kind of a funny thing, just trying to keep it all in mind and juggle it all.
do you have like, is there more stories about this gentleman, Meevil the Weevil?
So definitely working on a pitch for a series and also a pitch for a film.
There's like a proof of concept in many ways.
Absolutely. I have a Bible. And one of the things I'm really hoping to do is kind of do like a faux documentary as live action, you know, one fan's journey to meet his hero, Meeple. So in the world, you know, Meeple actually existed in the 70s. In 80s, and somebody growing up in that time who was really
Evel Knievel.
I wouldn't say that for legal reasons, but something like that. So yeah, it'd be sort of a fan's journey to find Meevil. He's still out there doing stunts, but the world's kind of forgotten him.
I'm
So
old enough to remember they used to have like the, what do you call it, the Wide World of Sports, right? They used to
oh
have
yeah
some, yeah.
yeah that stuff was so exciting. You know, it's just kind of simpler time, the world of tomorrow and possibilities and normal people doing big things. And yeah, I'm really drawn to that, where it's just kind of these simple little objectives, just, you know, jump
He
your
was one of
motorcycle
the,
over a series of trailers kind of thing.
he or his people or him, they were one of the, they were one of the innovators of the pay-per-view, like back in the day, right? They,
The Snake River Canyon and all the stuff
yeah,
at
the
in
rip,
Vegas.
yeah.
Yeah, super cool.
I heard he wasn't like that great of a guy though.
Yeah, the documentaries don't seem to portray that.
Would
But
get canceled today, let's put it that way, right?
yeah, I guess when you're in that line of work and you have to be like purely self-promotional, it takes a certain personality type. So our character Meeble is not like that. You know, we're trying to humanize him, ironically, in a way that he's got big dreams but doesn't always have the confidence to back it up. So we're trying to make it a story about, you know, you or I trying to do something like this, where you really want to do this thing, but it actually turns out to be terrifying, and you have to kind of muster your courage.
So it's a little bit of Super Dave Osborne influence as well.
You know, we a lot of the people that help me make this have kids, and they really respond to the crashes and to the cartoony aspect. So, you know, slapstick is kind of a lost art, I think. So we love just kind of the homage to old cartoons where things splat and flatten and squash and stretch.
Like Road
So
Runner, I guess, right?
totally. Yeah, and Super Dave was just fantastic. So yeah, there's definitely a touch of that.
Because this has got a, I have it down in my notes too. Like this is like even at the festival, I noticed like it's a universal film, meaning that there was like kids in the audience and there was like people in their 80s in the audience and they basically loved it. It doesn't matter what culture you're in, economic, it doesn't matter. Everybody likes this film,
Oh,
which is
that's really
rare.
nice to hear. Oh, thank you for saying that. Yeah, we're trying to do something that, you know, the motif and ephemera of it definitely appeals to people of our generation, nostalgia-wise, but then just sort of the antics are family friendly. And yeah, there's no dialogue in it. It's all pantomime. It's just, you know, let the performance kind of speak for itself. So
So you brought up Jim Henson before, right? Because at the end of the film, you got the live, like the breakfast table, kind
oh
of like,
yeah. Yeah, he was my hero growing up. I wrote to him in 1986, and he actually wrote back to me. So that's kind of my one, you know, when there's a fire in the house, that'll be the one thing I grab. And my cat and my wife, not in that order, but okay, those three things.
In terms of, if you're like you said, your friends got has kids and stuff like that. I have kids. I want them to watch the some of the Jim Henson stuff. What would you recommend? For I think Fraggle Rock is on my mind, but what would you recommend?
Oh yeah, I used to love Fraggle Rock. Yeah, I would start maybe with like the Muppet Movie, Great Muppet Capers, Fantastic with
Yeah.
Charles Grodin, Muppets Take Manhattan. Those were like the big three for me, just weekly, just on rotation. Of course, the Muppet Show was just perfect.
I always felt the secret of life is in the Muppet movie.
Yeah, absolutely. There's
Stick
nothing.
to your guns. Stay, don't sell out. Be stick to your creativity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kermit
There's
was a
very
guy
few.
with he had integrity, and I'm assuming Jim Henson apparently was a perfectionist, right? Like he was very hard to work with, but because he was so passionate about the craft.
Yeah, and I think just like a really decent individual as well, you know, and his dynamic with Frank Oz was really fascinating. Frank was really ambitious, and I think Jim was patient and supported that, and really great things came out of it. So, yeah, the autobiography or the biography about Jim Henson is worth a read.
Yeah.
Definitely a great story.
So okay, so you this is like so it took you a long time to do, obviously. So you're looking for like a kind of like how you did like you worked on Robot Chicken, you're looking for like kind of producers get a show like that.
Yeah, so the next step, you know, that now that we have a proof of concept to show what the character can do, is, you know, putting together, you know, my vision for at least an episodic show is kind of more magazine style, where they're, you know, attention spans are very short right now. We learned this on Instagram. We've done a lot of work with my good friend Rachel Larson, who did The Tiny Chef, who has done very well just as an artist, but also online, like learning what the attention spans are out there for short stories. And the stories need to be very short. So even 3.5, 4 minutes is much too long. So we know we need more bite-sized kind of content. So I'm kind of formulating ways to tell Meeple stories in very quick succession. Yeah, not dissimilar to Robot Chicken, where the sketches are very short,
Yeah.
but trying to assemble those in a meaningful way that's kind of honest and passionate about a bigger tale. And then yeah, chip away at sort of a potential feature take on it that's a bit more long form. So,
I don't
but we'll
even know
see.
if that's true, the attention span, because I'm not a perfectionist, I'm not an advertiser, but it's kids watch like my kids are young and they watch like
Yeah.
full-length feature films.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, they're
Yeah.
the exception, I would think,
I
with
don't know,
kids.
because you go to the movies and they're watching, they sit back and watch, like there's like they're into, if it's a story, they're into it.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been sort of being cautioned otherwise,
Yeah.
but that's great. I
And
was.
that said, like I think my analogy is that like even us, we're like we watch, you know, I'm being general, of course, I'm not saying you and I, but generally the population in our generation watches TikTok videos for 30 seconds, but we also listen to a 2-hour podcast, right?
For sure. No, I still love the long form. Yeah, and if kids are still into that, that's great to
And they're
hear.
like, my 6-year-old can sit down and play Mario for 2 straight hours, right?
Yeah,
So.
yeah. I do have a. I would love to get Meeple into the video game space.
Yeah.
I've been, yeah, I've
You
got
got
those
some
plans.
big ideas then, right?
Yeah, big ideas, shallow pockets, but got to just keep trying.
No, but at the same time, you have context because you were in the inside. You understand how a show gets run. You understand
Yeah.
the dynamics, the politics involved, I guess, right?
Yeah, definitely done a lot of pitching, had, you know, some shows get through to Cartoon Network and things like that. The industry, like I said, is really weird. You know, Cartoon Network has kind of gone away. A lot of networks have merged. Streaming wars are complicated, so there aren't a lot of places buying stuff right now. But it's kind of forcing some different thinking, like where can we take this? You know, one aspect I really like about this project is that there's an educational opportunity. So we have Meeple in a museum in North Carolina, for example. I'm talking to the Oregon Zoo about potentially using him for educational purposes, and that's something that could be really nice. So,
That's amazing. And so, are you working on another film right now, or are you like?
not actively shooting right now, but am writing and designing for it. So, yeah, hoping to break ground on the next thing soon. We do have a bunch of stuff up on Instagram at stunt.bug, little bite-sized content pieces. But yeah, we're right now just doing the festival circuit. We're in a bunch of different festivals, and getting feedback like this has just been really helpful to kind of inform how the next ones kind of work.
So you mentioned we. So who's we?
So Ancient Order is our studio, and that's my wife and I, Tommy Cahill, and our partner Jack Zagarski. So the three of us are creative partners, and then there have been a handful of people that helped work on this. Nikki Rice built the puppet, Suzanne Twining did a ton of beautiful animation on this, Larry Ho did VFX. A lot of hands have to touch a stop motion film to get it done in a timely manner. So yeah, I always say we because I don't want those people to go unrecognized. It's, you know, they're all champions.
So you go to your Instagram. We'll have a link on it on the podcast. It's stunt.bug, and you have like a comic book, and you have a video game, like old classic video game, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the fun conceit is that, you know, in the world, Meeple was a big deal in the 70s. So he had an
Yeah.
arcade cabinet and a primetime show. And so I just love making fake history.
So there's a lot of avenues you can take this character so many ways, like. I could even see him getting a girlfriend,
Oh,
and
sure. Yeah. History of Weevils. We have lots of fun ideas. We shot a bunch of fun, like 70s cereal commercials. So yeah, we have a lot of stuff we've shot. I just have to kind of finish up a lot of products, a lot of toys. There's a fun documentary in there with at a place called Dr. Tongues. I had that shop. We made a bunch of toys and brought it to his store, and he talked about the history of Meeple the Weevil toys in the 70s. And yeah, just building a world, you know, as a world builder and production designer, I like giving context and you know, alternate reality sort of world building, and it's been a lot of
Well,
fun.
if you studied like characters in the last 20, 25 years, the people like the overconfident character. Like if you look at even from drama to comedy, we like the overconfident character.
Yeah, in over their head kind of thing. Yeah, always.
Yeah.
And that's been fun. So the dynamic between the two characters, there's Meeville and there's Aulis. Aulis is
Yeah.
his manager who builds all his vehicles and things, and Meeple's got the big ideas, and Alice makes it for him, and then he's immediately in over his head and scared and has to kind of muster up the courage to do it. So we want to teach kids that it's okay to fail. You just got to give it your best and get back up when you fall down. Don't have to be the best, but try your best. So
Yeah. And what's your feeling on, as someone, the professional like yourself, what's your feeling on AI animation now that it's occurring?
yeah, I think the kind of genie's out of the bottle. Yeah, it's hard to watch people get put out of work because AI can do all the concept art for you. So I'm not a huge fan of it. Don't use it myself. Don't really know how, but yeah, there's no going back. So we'll just kind of have to see how it shapes everything. But yeah, creatively, it just feels like it takes the heart and soul out of art. But you know, like anything, I'm told just to embrace it like a tool. So I guess I just have
Yeah.
to come to terms with that.
You kind of don't want to be afraid of it, right? So,
Yeah.
because
Yeah, there's always kind
the
of a circling back, you know, it's like when CG became big in the early 90s, and
100%. That's what happens, though. It's like yin and yang. It's like one thing powerful, the exact opposite becomes just as powerful. Look
that's
at
right.
your political system in the States, right?
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah.
one thing gets powerful, the other exact opposite gets powerful. That's what's happening with AI. You're going to go back to natural kind of hand-drawn animation, natural storytelling, right? So
Oh yeah, it's a pendulum. So yeah, we're kind of in a big we're in the apex of it right now. So the
yeah.
apogee. So
Well, I'm talking to some professional like some big like some professors who teach animation in universities now. And they're teaching their students, like not AI like animation, but they're as a guide for them to help them with their animation, even 2D animation drawing. Like it's their assistant, I guess, right?
oh, got it.
And
Okay,
like
yeah.
Iron Man's assistant, you know what I mean? Like they're helping them.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, I guess I need to look into it a little bit.
I'm in the same boat, man. It's like it's scary, right? So, but sometimes you have to like. It, this especially the evolution of movies, right? Like we've gone
Yeah.
through this, right?
Oh
from
yeah.
the talkies to silent film to talkies. And even in the last 20 years, we've gone through the digital revolution. Everybody used to say, I'm never going to shoot on digital, right?
Yeah, no,
But
you're
they end up
right.
doing it, right? So, yeah.
It is funny to think that introducing audio to film, they thought that would be the end of the medium, but
Yeah.
yeah,
There
things
you
move
go, right?
forward.
So I think
Yeah.
that we all want stories. We all want emotional connection to a character. That will
Yeah.
never go away. It's
Yeah.
just how you get there, it always changes, right?
That's true. No, that's encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so long as the storytelling remains earnest and
It
honest,
does.
and you're right.
Well, you got an interesting point of view. I think you're a very interesting guy, and I love your background a lot. I love to see this home because it looks so interesting. And
Oh, thank
you
you
got
so
the
much.
phone there, like it looks like a human right behind your
Oh,
shoulder there. Yeah.
yeah. That's right. I got to get that thing working.
Got a
Landlines,
skull.
that's another thing that people don't have anymore. Landlines, got to bring that back.
Look at you got the old classic radio player, right? So yeah.
Yeah, we like old schlock. So,
Vinyl. They call it vinyl.
okay. Oh, yeah, lots of
Which
vinyl
they
here.
still make today, right? So
Oh, yeah, that's coming back. So, I guess you're right. That proves the point. If they can bring back vinyl, then there's still hope for the world.
yeah, they're 100%. All right, man. Keep right doing stories. I love the film. Like I was very fortunate to see your film on different regards for a festival, and I just love seeing it. It was just last week, right? So it jumps to my mind. We're like just the laughter of like over 100 people laughing in unison, different generations. It's a great feeling.
That means a lot, and I really appreciate you being a champion for it and being a great communicator. It's been cool to chat with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.